Good morning, church. Beat me to the punch there. Let's try this again.
Good morning, church.
How's everybody this morning?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful life, loving life, praying for world peace, praying for the people around the world. Their lives turned upside down by ravages of war, weather. Please help them, God. Thank you.
Amen and amen. Awesome. Always thank you for that, David. It's just an uplifting thing all the time. It really is. So this morning, my hope is that after this message that you leave here feeling a little more empowered and more reassured than when you came in here this morning. So today, let's start with 1 John chapter 2. We're going to pick up in verse 12. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Okay, the way John starts this verse here is pointing out the fact he's already written so much in his gospel. The gospel of John, we see, and there's so much in that gospel. But here's a follow-up letter to his gospel. It's focused on strengthening believers, strengthening the faith. And John is using that, saying, I am writing to you. I'm writing to you once again. He could have said, I'm writing to you once again. I'm writing to strengthen your faith. I'm writing to tell you about the position that you have in Jesus Christ. I'm writing to keep you more faithful. It can go on and on and on. I'm writing so that you grow even more towards Jesus Christ. Now, we need to understand the way he is writing. He's really not writing to actual children or young men or fathers. What he's writing describes three stages of spiritual growth. Okay? These are not literal age groups, but rather represent different levels of spirituality. Each group is addressed based on their relationship with God and their spiritual experiences and their spiritual growth, because we know this is a growth process, right? Everything that we read in the Bible, everything time we gather together, every time we study the Bible, this is all a growth process. So let's take a peek at that first, the growth process. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll pick up in verse 11. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. However God led you to him, whatever gift the Holy Spirit has bestowed on you, we are to use these for our growth and the growth of the church and the growth of the body of Christ, bringing everybody to a fruitful knowledge of who Jesus is and everything that he's done for us. We have an amazing Savior. So when we break down the groups, it's on your sheets there, okay, of spiritual growth. Little children, these are new believers who have recently undergone a baptism, have now come to know God as their Father, are in the initial stages of learning and growing in their faith. Young men, those who are progressing toward being actively engaged in spiritual warfare, growing strong in their faith with the Word of God becoming stronger within them. Fathers, those who have a deep and abiding knowledge of God, having walked with him for a long time. They know him, have experienced his faithfulness, and continue growing and living for God. Did you notice the common word in all three of those stages right there? It's growing. It's growing, right? Whatever. Thank you. Whatever stage that you feel that you're in, everyone is always continually growing. There's so much to learn, so much more that God is trying to tell us in his word. We only stop growing when Jesus Christ appears. Okay? We stop growing because what's going to happen? We're going to know everything. We have that promise in the Word. You will know everything. Everything will be revealed. We have that great promise. So it doesn't matter what stage you're in, whether you just became a Christian yesterday or when you've been one for 100 years. It doesn't matter. Everyone is still growing and growing towards more understanding and depth of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, let's look at the second half of that passage. 1 John chapter 2, 13 and 14. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. So listen, in the fabric of John's gospel, he is reinforcing everything with these letters. Everything that he spoke in the gospel. You know, he begins his gospel. Right? He begins by explaining who Jesus is. Let's look at it. John 1, 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. John's gospel explains Jesus' life, His ministry, His miracles, His teaching, His actions, how to attain to eternal life through Him. Everything that John is laying down in his gospel came right from the mouth of Jesus. He's quoting everything that Jesus said. Just for the sake of time, John's gospel has three main stages, right? Talks about three main things: His cross, His resurrection, and our baptism. That's really what the book breaks down to. And when you read through the book, what you're going to see is, oh, that's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said this. And it's quoted, it's backed up all through the Bible of things that Jesus has spoken. And in this reinforcing letter, okay, he explains that not only did Jesus do all this stuff, but I was there. I saw it. Let's look at it. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, we've looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested. We have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? You know, when you read verse 3, can you just feel John's zeal and his excitement in proclaiming the Word of God and proclaiming everything that Jesus has done? And John was saying, I've seen it. I've seen it right there. And when he says, he adds that one little word in there, indeed. You know what that word means right there? It's on your sheets. There's no question. It's undeniable truth. So the first thing I want to present to you for your assurance and your reassurance in Jesus Christ is that John's Gospels and his letters are eyewitness accounts of the undeniable. The undeniable blessings that we have through Jesus Christ. Church, let me ask you a question. How strongly would you believe if you saw the blind receiving sight, the deaf hearing, the mute speaking, the dead raised, all these miracles that John witnessed, you know? It had to be mind-boggling for him. How would you react when you saw all this stuff that no human could do being done right in front of your face? I know it would make me a believer. It would make me say, you know what? I need to follow this guy a whole bunch more because I want to see what's going on here. Jesus did so much for us. As John witnessed everything that he was doing, the zeal that John had was growing and growing, and he was getting bolder in his speech, bolder in his letters, bolder in his gospel. He was continually growing in Christ. Continually growing. So again, let's point back to 1 John 1:3. Let's make John's zeal our zeal. The zeal that John had, let's bring it into ourselves. Let's bring it into the maturity as we grow in Christ and proclaim Him as well. Proclaim Him. How hard is it to proclaim Jesus and everything He's done for us? My Savior died for me. Just, man, if I can't get that through my head. Jesus Christ died for me.
Yeah.
And if that wasn't enough, He did so much more. And He continues to do so much more. Listen, as a church, as a small little church as we are, we have seen miracles, correct? We've seen miracles. We've heard prayers answered. We've seen prayers answered just within our small little church. These alone should reassure us. God hears us. God hears us. It strengthens our faith. It strengthens our focus. It gives us a reason to proclaim Him. Indeed it does, right? Indeed it does. Amen. It strengthened us to boldly ask for more prayers on our Sunday morning prayer list, using our prayer texting chain, being assured that we're being prayed for. We know when we put prayers out there on the prayer list that the whole body is praying for that one person's need, being assured and reassured over and over and over again that God hears us. You know, I'm very grateful that we don't have a mega church where there's 10 billion people here. Would I love to see 10 billion people here all baptized into Jesus Christ? Amen. I'd love that. But you know what? So many things and so many people get lost in those mega churches. I don't see that here. You know, quantity does not mean a thing. Quality, that's what means something. And we have that here. I've seen it a bazillion times. Who here can count to a bazillion? Well, I can't. I could, but I'm not going to brag about it. So let's take a peek. Look at John quoting Jesus in his gospel. All right? Chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 5. Jesus himself said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Listen to that, what he's saying. Unless you do this, you cannot have that. Reminds me of my mother. Unless you finish your vegetables, you ain't watching TV. Mom, we're talking broccoli here. Come on. I don't care. Unless you do this, you ain't getting that. It's the same thing with God. He's trying to get that point across to people, right? So within that, let's look at his first reassuring letter. 1 John chapter 5, 4 and 5. "For whatever," here is the key, "is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who's the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Guys, let's keep going. Jump down to verse 18. "We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him." Let that one sink in, okay? That's an important one. "We know that we are of God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. We know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. We are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Do you see all the assurance in there, guys? All the reassurance as we keep reading every day. Look at the words, two little words. "We know." We know. Go back to what we started with today in 1 John. "I am writing to you because you know. I have written to you because you know." He's giving us that assurance and that reassurance. Then we get to a point where we not only know, but we can say something I've said a bazillion times, and I can count to a bazillion. I've said it so many times. We know that we know that we know that we know. That's assuring yourself. That's assuring other people. I've said that a bunch of times. We can say that we know that we know that we know. And indeed, it is undeniable. Right? Get your knowledge to that point. Get your knowledge to saying, I know it's undeniable and nobody's going to change my mind. Get to that point. Now, as he brings his first reassuring letter to a close, let's take a peek at that. 1 John chapter 5, back up to verse 13. He says right here, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know we have the request which we have asked from him. Verse 13, he sums up everything that he's written in this first reassuring letter. Again, he uses the phrase, I have written. Written it once again. So when we look at the Gospel of John, okay, we have so much assurance and reassurance in the Gospel. 1 John reassures us and backs all that up. 2 John tells about walking in his commandments. 3 John tells about walking in his truth. Everything points to Jesus Christ. It points to assurance. It points to reassurance. You know, listen, we know we believe, right? We can say we know. I don't just believe, I know. And so many times I've said this before as well. Do you believe in God? No, I don't. And they'll look at me like, you know, I have six heads. And I'll say, I don't believe in God. I know God. I know God. And you know what's even greater? He knows me. Okay? Excuse me while I dance the jig in front of you. Because I know God. And he knows me. We know we believe. We know we have eternal life. We know we have confidence in his truth. We know he hears us. We know he answers prayers. We know all this stuff. It's undeniable. Indeed. Indeed it is. Absolutely. We know that we know that we know that we know. This means growing spiritually to maturity. We know that we know that we know. This is maturity. This is growing towards maturity. Amen, church? Amen. Absolutely. So we just looked at a small part of this. There's so much more about assurance and reassurance that we can glean from John's Gospels and letters. Now, real quick, let's just jump over to Paul. And we're going to see some more assurance from his verses. Just a couple verses here from Ephesus. And Paul uses the term, in him we have. Again, that's assurance and that is reassurance. Couple verses just from Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, 7 and 8. And they're all in chapter 1. This is just the beginning of the book, right? 1:7. Thank you, Dave, for backing that up again. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. Listen to the word lavished. What does that mean? When you say I want to lavish something on you. You don't just give him little parts, right? You give him the whole thing. You pour it out on him, right? 1, verse 11. In him also we have obtained to an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Verses 13 and 14, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. These are just three short verses of the hundreds that Paul wrote assuring Christians. All 13 of his books are filled with so much more promises and the same reassurance. And every day as we read them and reread them, we get assured and we get reassured and reassured and reassured of everything that we have. I encourage you, read John's gospel, read his letters, read Paul's books, read the Bible, read it. And every time that you come across something that you know you have, underline it, highlight it, cut it out, paste it to your forehead. Do something with it to know that you have. And you can go through there and you can say, oh, yeah, salvation, I have that. Oh, forgiveness, I have that. And the list goes on and on of this stuff we have. It's amazing. It's amazing, amazing. The more you convince yourself that you know what you have, the more mature you're going to grow closer to Jesus Christ. And that's what it is. It's building our confidence in Christ, bringing us to spiritual maturity. Listen, church, whatever state of growth you're in, it doesn't matter. Child, young man or woman, father, doesn't matter. Someone who's followed God for a long time, doesn't matter. This next passage fits for everyone. Let's look at it. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, so that you will know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, so that you will know what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. Awesome stuff, right? Yeah, I can see how you're jumping up and down there. You know? I'm up here jumping up and down. Thank you, Ken, for jumping up and down. I appreciate that. So let me end here by saying, now, knowing that we have all this assurance and all this reassurance, it strengthens our confidence and it gives us more zeal to proclaim Jesus Christ even more and to tell other people why we have it. This is what God desires. He desires that we practice 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Just for kicks, and just for this message today, let me stick two more little words at the end of that verse, right? Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence and assurance and reassurance. You want to throw another one in there? And zeal to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen, right?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, what we have in your word, the assurance, the reassurance, really, Father God, strengthens us, our zeal, to proclaim what great things you've done for us, what great things you continue to do for us, and what a great feeling we're going to have when Jesus comes to take his church home. Just to think about that, to be with our Lord and Savior, the one who came down here as a servant, to humble himself, to die in humility, to die to take our place, to do something we could never do, and to have him raised and living again. We know that. We know Jesus Christ is alive. It's just not a belief. It's pure knowledge. And we have the zeal to proclaim and say, yes, Jesus Christ is alive. And when Jesus Christ comes back, he's not coming back for sin anymore, as the Bible tells us. He's coming back with power. He's coming back as God, and he's coming back to take his church home. Let's have the zeal and the comfort to proclaim that and know that we know that we know indeed we have so much in Jesus Christ. And it's always in his name we pray. Amen. If there's anything we can do for anyone to get them into Jesus Christ, come as we stand and sing.